Fraught with danger when a coach puts that sort of pressure on his group. Damien Hardwick clearly believes he's got a group who can measure up, and it wasn't pretty last night, but they did muscle their way to a very important 4 points, and the coach of the Tigers has been good enough to join us on Crunch Time for Ringwood Mazda. Good morning to you, Dimmer.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, congratulations on the win. There's a lot of things that you look at when you walk away from a game of footy and review before you get stuck into the next one. Was there one thing more than any other that you took away from that last night from a positive perspective?
Oh, listen, it was to get the 4 points. You know, it's one of those games where you don't play exceptionally well. We've probably been similar for the last 2 weeks, but managed to get over the line with the 4 points. So, look, we're not playing our best footy at the moment. We've certainly got to improve, but the big thing for us is we keep ticking that win column at the moment, which is impressive.
Damien, your team at Dermot here. Well done on banking up another 4 points, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Hey, I always was of the belief that rounds 12 to 18 were the real crunch months, because in the last 4 weeks you might get some teams, you say, well, we can't get there, and then you might get a team who's in the bottom four, so we need to build for next year confidence-wise. So you get a distortion in the last 4 months on just where the true lay of the land is, but it's rounds 12 to 18, and this era it seems to be rounds 12 to 20. That really does sort the as you've called it, the big boys out.
Yeah, I think so. It's sort of along the lines of basically one team falls off the perch as we go along. You know, there's really crunch games every week from here on in for clubs trying to vie for that, you know, those positions in the eight. And we certainly spoke to our boys about that and just said, listen, this is a really important month for us as a footy club. You'd like to say they're all important, obviously, but this block of four, as we often speak about, is, you know, it can really solidify our season one way or the other. So we've just got to make sure we take every game on its merits, but more importantly, we give ourselves an opportunity to play finals footy, and that's where it starts.
Now, I know you won't do anything but answer me honestly with this, but in true essence, in these four games, will you pick your best team every week, or is there still man management through these this month where the ground's a little softer, a little harder, and it is a tough 4 or 6 weeks?
Yeah, probably a little bit of that, Dan. We've got a couple of really sore boys at the moment. I know Carlton were in the same boat with us. We probably had 4 or 5 guys that effectively didn't train last week and went straight into the game. We were uncertain about how they'd come through. You know, Dustin Martin was one of those players that barely trained last week. I know Carlton had a similar lot. And it's just that period that it's a real grind this time of year that, you know, the games are slightly more contested. You know, it's cold, it's wet, it's miserable. And so it's a bit of man management. We're probably fortunate we've got an 8 or 9 day break up to Sunday twilight this week, which will give us a bit of recovery time so we can get some training into our boys.
You mentioned it was a grind. It was somewhat of a grind for us to watch last night. 91 stoppages. It was hardly a fluent game.
Yeah, we turned over to the cricket halfway through the third. Pretty ashamed. Those games, we always thought we had Carlton at arm's length, but our ball use inside 50 was as bad as I've seen it be for a period of time. We just butchered a number of opportunities where we should have come away with an easy goal, and it probably was getting me a little bit frustrated, to be perfectly honest, in the box. And it's something we'll work on this week. It's an easy fix, but, you know, we should have kicked. Yeah, the second term, we'll drop the marks inside 50. Third term, we probably had a couple of opportunities where we had guys out. We missed the kick. It was just one of those nights for us where a lot of our stuff was okay, but our last kick inside 50 was as bad as it's been for a long period of time.
Damien, it's Robbo here.
Hey, Robbo.
Dermot wrote a column here, so I don't know if you read the paper. Dermot wrote a column about stoppages in the game. That's why we sort of touched on it there. Do you, as coach, have time to think about the direction of where the game's going, or when you're in season, it is just match day after match day, training session, preparation, recovery?
Well, no, I think the majority of coaches have a general overview of how they'd like to see the game played. And I didn't exactly read Dermot's article, but I got the general gist of it from a couple of people I spoke to. And I think you find there's certain sides that create a lot of stoppages as compared to sides that don't. Like, we're pretty much a low stoppage side. I think we only, like, 90, believe it or not, last night was relatively low in terms of, you know, stoppage consistency this year. And you know, I know the AFL are concerned about the number of boundary throw-ins occurring at the moment, and I think probably the thing we can do, and we're probably not great at this, is there is a rule deliberate out of bounds, and we've probably got to get a little bit stricter in its interpretation. I think what happens, though, is the umpires are probably keen to pay it, but then we lambast them when they do pay it. But I think if we get consistency in that, it'll certainly take away, you know, a number of boundary throw-ins that's being at the moment.
Can I ask you, Damien, on that, if we made a drastic change to have last team that touched the ball over the boundary line in between the arcs, so not giving a set shot at goal in between both forward 50s, in between the arcs, would it drastically change the way you coach the game, or would you just move through that quite easily?
Yeah, that's a good call, Dan. You're probably along. Ross Smith, one of our...
Was Kingy then. Yeah. I'll take the credit.
I've lost my voice, mate.
Yeah. Look, it's probably not something we put a lot of thought in. I think what happens is, I think a lot of the ball ups and boundary throw-ins, I'm not sure, I haven't got the information to back this up, I think a lot of them will be inside 50 as well, like where sides don't want to get scored against going the opposite way. So I'm not too sure whether, you know, whether we bring the ball back in a little bit, like ball it up instead of a boundary throw-in from that point of view into a central part of the ground. I'm not sure. From my point of view, although it is, it's probably not a massive concern, I can understand why the AFL have expressed concern in this manner.
Do you, we were just talking before, Dimmer, about how often now players don't kick to the top of the square, they kick to the pocket, and often the ball goes out of bounds. Is that, do you coach that? Do you instruct your players, right, it's really congested there, kick it to the pocket, and we'll set up, get a throw in, and we'll set up for a stoppage. Do you coach that strongly?
It's a good point you make, Robert. There's probably two schools of thought. Generally, we like to attack the top of the goal square, but there's certain games where sides will plonk, say, an extra defender or a ruck back there that will probably instruct our players, listen, we're going to be outnumbered in this situation. Let's just get it out of bounds, start again, and try and capitalise from a turnover from that situation. So certain strategies, and I think most sides will find a similar in that. It was actually one of our bugbears last night. Our guys were kicking too many balls to the pocket. Probably one, because they had a couple of blokes down there at various stages. They folded back pretty well, but we probably thought with the, you know, Jamison going down relatively early that we could probably look to exploit, you know, a few one-on-one 2v2 matchups in deeper inside 50. So that was an area that we'll address on Monday in our review meeting.
So just for the listener, explain to us all, if you got Dustin Martin against Zach Tui one-on-one at the top of the square, well, you put it up on his head and you back him in to use his strength and his guile and his ability to get the ball, win the ball and kick a goal. No problems with that. But just so we all know, what if there's 18 players, you know, 8 of them might be your forwards somewhere down there at the top of the square, and you've got somebody 65 out, what's the general consensus you can see for the league footballer where he directs that kick from 65 if there's, you know, 20-odd players within 25 metres of the goal face?
Probably from that situation, because there is a large density of people there, doing, we probably will attack the goal square in that situation, but it's more the one where, look, it's a relatively fast play and there's probably more oppo there as compared to us. So say it's a 6v4 outnumber for them. That's probably the situation we'll say to our player, listen, the chance of us winning this outnumbered situation are pretty slim. Let's just play the percentages, either find a lead up or let's get it out of bounds.
So if it's a good discussion, Dimmer, and thanks for joining in with it. So if opposition players didn't put players back to outnumber the forwards, do you reckon there would be more kicking to the top of the square and getting, I suppose, more traditional...
Long bombs to snake.
Yeah, long bombs to snake, you know. Forwards going up against backs, 2-on-2 maybe.
Yeah, look, it's very situational. Players are very adept now at actually making those decisions, although last night we weren't so much. They're pretty smart now about understanding the density of players, where we're a chance of winning it as compared to where we're probably going to get beaten in certain situations. So, look, the players make those calls on the field because it's really hard to coach from the coach's box. We'll give them an understanding of the situations they're going to come up against, and then they'll make the right decisions at the right time, hopefully.
I'll give you the numbers on last night's game because it's obviously one that you know really well, Damien, and just to educate. 91 stoppages, which is not a massive game. We'd said 141 the night before.
In terms of inside those forward 50, boundary throw-ins are the ones we want to stop. You can't stop the ball ups. They're going to happen. There were seven at both forward 50s. So only seven at each end, but 25 in the midfield, in between the arcs. So I think we worry about the 25, and we'll wear the seven. The seven. I don't know if we can do a lot about the seven. Yeah. So that's 14 in total. But I still keep coming back to, if we made it last team to touch the ball in the mid zone, would it change your planning on how you want to play, Damien? I guess that's the question.
More corridor.
We want to take the boundary line as a tool of defence off coaches.
Yeah, I can see your point. Probably the other one that is creeping in the game a little bit is the man on the mark. Mm. I think what's happening with the man on the mark at the moment is that the player to take the mark, if he moves 1 inch off that mark, he's called play on. Yet the man on the mark can actually move 10 metres inside and cut off inside option, which forces you once again wide. You look, most sides are trying to take away the corridor at various stages. So that's probably another one that's probably making us go a lot wider than what we'd like at various stages also. You see a number of sides having two men on the mark guarding that inside play.
Yep.
So once again, forces you down the line. So I think if you try to get a stricter interpretation maybe of that rule, might cut out five or six, I don't know.
Would you go down this a good discussion, the down the line kick as well? I mean, if the boundary line again is taken off you, you'd be less reliant on going down the line. Also, I mean, it would be a drastic change to the game. I understand that, but do you agree that it's the point where we need to do something?
Look, it's hard for me to say. I don't, because I'm watching the game probably a little bit different to people. I don't really get caught up in the cosmetic look of the game at various stages, though. But I can understand the worry.
Yeah.
When you sit at home, on the rare occasion you just get to watch a game of footy with a beer in your hand, do you sit there and go, oh, this is rubbish? Like, this is fair nickel rubbish what I'm seeing here?
Oh, there's no doubt there's good games and bad games.
Yeah, right.
But I think that happens regardless of whatever rule interpretations we make. And then depending how many of my mountain goat beers I'm into, depending how good the game is. Right. Well, it comes out four beers for me.
See, that's a rating of the game.
You see, on Thursday night, there were 62 throw-ins between...
Jeez, I thought you were going to say 62 beers.
That's a big night.
That's Robbo's
62 joint. Throw-ins between the arcs. In the midfield on Thursday night, just the midfield alone. Oh, it's just too much.
It is, Jim. Hey, thanks for you're going to ask. Well, go.
I wanted to ask you, Damien, more on the personnel then of Richmond. You're always looking to improve week in, week out, and you're trying to get your team better. And as you say, this is the month the big guys step up or step off the plate and give somebody else a chance. Last night, I just believe that Carlton ran the ball out of your forward line way too easy for a coaching box to accept. Some of these blokes like Cade Simpson's always going to... Zach Toohey looked pacey against the half forward line's want to tackle. Dylan Buckley looked like a speedster coming out of the back line. These blokes aren't slow, but they ain't racehorses, and Yaron didn't have a good one, so you can't gauge against him. Was it a concern to you that opposition, with a little bit of foot pace, can run the ball away from the half-back line?
Oh, look, I think if you look at Carlton since JB's taken over, that's the one thing they've done. They've loaded up their half-back, so they play a lot faster off that line. And look, in fairness to Carlton, I think that's the best side they've put on the park all year. And they're actually going to be... they're going to go okay the back end of the year. They've got all their personnel. Cruz is an important player, as we know.
Yep.
Really stacked up that back half. So we were always concerned about it going into the game. And there's a reason there were 2-2, you know, over the past month. It's because of that half back line. They're running carry. And now you only got to look what they did to Port. They're probably a little bit flat versus Gold Coast. But we put a little bit of work into those guys. You know, Steve Morris did a terrific job. Yaron limited his influence. Simpson's just a jet of a player. Like, you know, it's amazing for a guy. He's been around a long time. He just gets better and better every year, and I think he's very underrated by probably a lot of people in the football world. Certainly not within the industry, but look, they're gonna beat some side coming home, there's no doubt.
In a clever way, Simpson was running in, has started to run in reverse. So, like, a ball's on the back flank, he'll run in reverse to the back pocket and receive and start quarterbacking from there and give the outlet kick, whether it goes diagonally across the field or so. So he's almost lost a little bit of his forward momentum, but he's still playing wonderful, wonderful footy, as you've pointed out. But he's quarterbacking even in a more stronger fashion now.
Yeah, he does. And that was one of the key things for us. We sort of put a little bit of work into him and his positioning, and we just didn't want to give him those chip kicks that they go backwards, because it opens up the other side, and then Yaron and two in these players come into play. And look, we knew we weren't going to be able to control them all night, but the fact of the matter is, I thought we did a reasonable job at various stages controlling that. Their inside 50 transition rate was okay without being great defensively for us.
Any news on Titch Edwards?
Well, he's had an x-ray of us so far, and it hasn't shown a break, so he's just got to confirm it with an MRI. So there might be a hairline fracture that we haven't seen on the x-ray, so that's what he gets through. Look, he's still pretty sore, not weight-bearing at the moment. We'll just wait and see how that one pans out. He's a really important player for us, and very hard to replace. In fact, we hope to replace the player at his quality, so touch what he gets through.
Now, last time you're on,
last Dimmer, one, boys.
We made you promise that you weren't going to say... He's a good player, Titch Edwards. He's not many people understand how good a player
he is. We've seen the best and fairest last year, Dimmer. You can't fool us anymore. Hey, does Ty Vickery have a duty of care?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that one. Because as we know, that sort of thing happens a lot in AFL footy, and I suppose the head-on-head clash is what the MRP will look at from our point of view. So we'll just put it in their hands, and I think, look, they've done a reasonable job. I'm going to pat them on the back here because they'll probably hopefully look after my boy. we'll take whatever comes our way. Unfortunately, that's one of the parts of AFL footy we've got no control.
What was your gut instinct? When you saw it and you looked up and you saw it on the screen, what was your gut instinct? It's not going to influence the MRP. It's just, we're just trying to get
I just thought it was one of those things that happens five or six times through a game, and unfortunately it's head on head. So
he's gone?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not too sure.
Damien, he didn't say that.
It was a question.
We'd love to say, well played last night. It's a cracking game of footy. Your mob got the job done. It had to be done, and they did it, and we congratulate you on that. Onward and upward, and keep getting those W's alongside.
I'm going to go home and review that for 4 hours.